We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And not to scorn, everything with about 30 threes or something.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt that. We kind of feed off that energy.
This place is amazing. Like, I really love Duke, and I love the atmosphere I'm in here.
Mark Williams, beast mode. Paolo, first half, he had the cramping stuff. Fair enough. Beast mode.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Quick turnaround. Fresh off the Wednesday show, we got episode 2 here, episode 1.5, a little bonus reaction to CTC. We got our first look at Duke tonight. I'm here with my guy, Russ. Ryan, happy birthday to Ryan. Ryan is out today, celebrating his birthday, so shout out to him. Turned 45 years old.
He's incoherent right now. He can't come to the thing. Yeah. He's partying too hard.
Yeah, too hard. But yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about. We just got a taste. First look at Duke. We got a look at Cooper Flagg with the crazies. A lot of Cooper Flagg rumors. My DMs. Why do y'all just want to jump to my DMs immediately for comfort? I am not your fallback. But we will discuss that. And of course, the Christian Reeves show. But yeah, Russ, give us your first thoughts on just Duke, what you saw tonight.
The scrimmage, I mean, we could talk about players like player by player, I guess. I mean, like, you know, I feel like the obvious one to we can leave Christian Reeves a little more like of an actual conversation. I feel like the easy one to talk about is Jeremy Roach. You know, it's his fourth countdown to craziness. He looked very comfortable, especially I tweeted this out. Whenever we get an offensive rebound and we kick it out to him and he just catches and shoots, I feel like his shooting percentage for that is 100%. Like, it's always going in when he shoots that shot specifically. And so that was really great. I mean, I think that's, again, a really telling sign of what we expect from Jeremy Roach this year. Leadership when younger players are struggling. And I'm not reading anything into some of the struggles of the younger players. This was their first time playing in front of fans in Cameron. Obviously, there's going to be like a little bit of jitters, a little bit of comfort going on. But Roach was very, very comfortable, and you love to see that.
One thing I will say, I tweeted this. Putting Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor on the same team.
It's unfair. Putting Flippin' Reeves. I mean, like, Flippin' Reeves, who's the tallest guy? You got Ryan Young and then Stewart on the other team. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I love Stewart, but, I mean, Reeves is the biggest guy maybe on the – like, he and Flip are the biggest guys, you know. And then you have the two starting guards as well. Yeah, that's stacking the deck for sure.
Yeah, that was – I mean, it was definitely – we knew kind of before who was going to win. I wouldn't take – to me personally, I can – the freshman guards, they didn't look great tonight. I mean, we could call it what it is. But, I mean, it's their first game in Cameron. You know, they didn't get a true warm-up. That's why I was kind of iffy. I told Russ I thought we were going to get like 15-minute warm-up. They had like a little 5-minute warm-up and then you just start hooping. So, like, you know, I didn't expect much. They look a little rusty, but – you're playing against two of the best guards in the country, in my opinion, and guys with a lot of experience. So, you know, they had their woes, but that's why they're going to be playing next to those two guys. You know, McCain, yeah. We saw McCain on the ball a lot today. I don't think he's going to be on the ball that much this season. You know, it's going to be a lot of catch and shoot, you know, and a lot of, you know, moving without the ball. So, yeah, I personally think, you know, I tweeted this about, I guess we can jump to Christian Reeves. I tweeted this. Obviously, we've had our discussions with Christian Reeves the past year, last show. You know, Russ had his little rant. We cannot see if Christian Reeves can't play if we don't put him in the game and see. At this point, because we saw back to back countdown to craziness where Reeves was better than Ryan Young. I'm not saying he's a better player than Ryan Young. I'm not saying, you know, he should be playing over Ryan Young, but he does things that Ryan Young doesn't do. So at this point, what's the excuse for not even just trying him?
Yeah, I think that's the bigger takeaway for me. It's less the idea that we would give Reeves heavy minutes in some of these matchups that we're going to face, right? Like, but Reeves is big. Like Reeves is just largeness in the paint, and he puts his hands up. You know what I mean? Like, there's something to be said for a guy that just takes up space. Like, you know, I try to think of like some big men that people don't give like good defensive credit to. So guys like Zach Edey and Hunter Dickinson, for instance. Like, Edey is great at the rim. Everybody knows that. Hunter Dickinson, I think, gets slept on, but like they're both just so big that they do make an impact on the game when they are inside. And like Reeves is a guy who, if he is down by the rim, he's going to take up space. And yeah, I mean, Josh Alston has a good comment there. Like, yeah, you can't teach size. Like, you just can't teach big. You know what I mean? And he's got pretty good hands. The most impressive thing from Reeves to me was when he caught the ball down low, they went to like swarm him, and the kick out to Roach in the corner, you know, to find Roach like on a quick turnaround for a big man to catch the ball, find Roach in the corner and whip it across to a wide open Jeremy. That raised my eyebrows for sure. That raised my eyebrows. So we'll see. The Reeves versus Young minutes thing is a real debate. I understand where you're coming from, Zion, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, Brandon makes a good point here that Reeves does. The only way to utilize Reeves defensively is playing drop coverage.
Yes.
But I mean, we did play a lot of drop coverage with Mark Williams as well. Lively was a little bit better at guarding on the perimeter, but I think you could get away with some drop coverage with Christian Reeves. I think you could get away with it depending on the team. It depends on matchups. It always going to depend on matchups. But you know, there's he could protect the rim, because when I saw Sean Stewart go at him, he altered his shot. Jeremy King went at him, he altered his shot.
Yeah,
he's a force down low. If he's in the spot, if he's down there, you know, he's not lingering on the perimeter, Reeves can be an impactful player defensively. But think, you know, we can't evaluate him until we see him on the floor. So
yeah. I think the drop could also work with, you know, we saw some things in the game where we were kind of swarming a little on the perimeter, trying to apply some pressure to Proctor, especially once the losing team was down. They started sort of swarming Proctor some. I feel like if we play a lot of pressure on the perimeter and just try to like commit some turnovers, then we can probably get away with playing Reeves in drop down low if we're not just like letting teams operate their half court, right? Like if they just start like forcing us to switch and like, you know, trying to, especially if they've got a five who can go out there, then sure, then Reeves probably can't do those things. But like if we're swarming the perimeter and we've got Reeves just like as a big body inside, so that if they get past the perimeter, they try to do some like mid-range floater stuff, but Reeves is just big and he's there, that could make an impact. So yeah, I mean, you don't want to overreact to a game like this, but I do think that your point of why would we not give him some spin, especially when we project Ryan Young to get some spin, is a valid point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, no one's saying Reeves has to get, you know, a certain amount of minutes per game. You know, you just got to try it. And there will be matchups where if we do ever match up with Purdue, I do think that's a game for Christian Reeves. But, like, you know, we'll see.
I kind of think that's a game for, like, just let Zach Edey score 30 to 40 points and then, like, force him to defend on the perimeter.
Yeah, but if but you remember last year, Zach Edey got all our guys in foul trouble. And Lively was a hack at that point already, but, like, just as another body to throw out there. Balo could be against Arizona, but
yeah, Grant brings up the Arizona game. Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure. It'll be interesting to see what we do there schematically. Because again, the idea of try flip at the five so that, you know, he can play Balo off the court on the other side of things is an interesting theory. We'll have to see what happens with it. Flip also needs to make his threes for that to happen.
I was not annoyed, but I was like a little like, come on, Flip, when he was settling for so much for threes. I thought probably because he was playing next to Reeves that, you know, that's why it was happening. Because I think, you know, Flip is best when he's not. And I think the first or second possession, he caught the ball in the perimeter and tried to make a move. He lost the ball. That's what we saw all of last season. So, you know, as much as he can simplify his game, I think that's the best Flip we'll see. But the only highlight I'm taking away from Flip is dunking on Sean Stewart. Like, that's the only thing I needed to see tonight, because that tells me he's at his peak athletically. And come season, first game of the year, we might see a different Flip. Because Sean Stewart is not the guy to try to dunk. There's two guys you can't try to dunk on on this roster. It's Reeves and it's Sean Stewart. And Flip tried him, and Flip ended him. So,
Flip got him. You know. Flip got him. You know, Stewart will have at least one block this year where somebody tries to put it on him like that, and Stewart just meets him and throws him back. So that'll definitely happen this year. I did like seeing that. I liked Flip's passing also. Flip's always kind of been a sneaky good passer. Again, if our big men are passing like that, and, you know, Ryan is a good passer too. I mean, like, any of our big men who are down there, especially if, like, what we see from Reeves and flashes is, like, real against, like, actual competition, that would be very exciting. Again, the offense could be really dynamic. We saw it in flashes today.
Yeah. And I guess we won't analyze this game too much, a scrimmage, because it is a scrimmage at the end of the day. And, you know, it's not indicative of the Duke you'll see. But I did want to touch on one thing, because I laughed. I laughed a lot when I saw it happen. When Jaden Shoot hit a three and then TJ Power hit a three right after, because that was our discussion last Wednesday or on Wednesday, you know, who are you taking between the two? So I thought that was pretty funny. But we'll see. We'll see. I like both of their forms at least. There's nothing really to take away for them hitting an open shot, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Do you want me to read some of these instant reactions that we got in the comments that then we can decide, like, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a giant overreaction and 1 being not an overreaction at all, maybe we could grade some of these. Some of these are obviously jokes, you know. like Duke Blue MBB, who will be the first overall pick in next year's NBA draft and why is it Christian Reeves? You know, I liked that one. There were a number of comments about Caleb Foster's shot and Caleb Foster's sort of offense in general.
You see that? Let's just scroll down and, like, go.
Yeah, yours might be in slightly different order than mine though, and I can't see that on my screen.
Oh, you can't see? Okay,
it's too tiny on my screen here. If you want to just pull some up, if you want to pull them up, by all means. Yeah,
let's just go with order. Does Reeve get 20 minutes or 30 minutes per game? No. That's a simple no, unless you have objections.
No, although I think in mid-major opponents, like in that, you know, multi-tournament, you know, event that we have at Cameron, you could see Reeves play 20 minutes a game in those. I mean, you know,
20 minutes per game, per game.
Yeah,
not one game.
And in against certain opponents, against a certain tier, we might see 20 minutes of Reeves, but not on the season, obviously. But again, okay. The 30 minutes lets you know that that was a joke, obviously. But yeah. He was very impressive tonight.
All right, the next one, you see it on the screen.
I'm just looking at the comment from the UConn fan that said John Shire is a nerd. Oh, dude, man. We go to Duke. We're all nerds, dude.
Yeah. The UConn. Nerd. I've never seen this many UConn fans in my mentions all year.
I love it, dude. Shout out to it's UConn, funny. Man.
No. Relax. We ain't even shouting on UConn, man. Don't do all that.
Troll away, guys. Help the numbers. Help the engagement. Help the viewership. Hit the thumbs up while you're here. You know what I mean?
All right. So I'll go to the next one. The freshmen don't quite look comfortable yet. Proctor is a wizard with the ball in PNR. Reeves looks serviceable on both ends. Jay Roach is absolutely a threat as a catch-and-shoot three-point target. Still iffy on pull-up jumpers.
Yeah, I think that all of those are reasonable. I do think that, like, the freshman thing, again, it's a scrimmage. It's hard to learn how to get up for some of those things and to, like, get locked in. It's such an event, countdown to craziness, you know. I think that they will obviously be fine, and they'll be fine early. They'll be fine soon. We definitely saw flashes from, I think, all of them. I know Stewart was getting frustrated with the fouls, but Stewart also had that nice, like, just grab the rebound and go dribble, like, in transition, and he almost made the kind of nifty layup. I thought they all had moments, you know. They're freshmen. It'll just take some time. And then the Reeves serviceable on both ends. Again, when you're playing drop, I think Reeves can definitely be serviceable. And we know that he can grab offensive rebounds. We know he can dunk. You know, we know he can do those things. And yeah, Roach is a catch and shoot 3-point target, especially off offensive rebounds. Is great. Is money.
If Roach gives us 30, at least 36% from deep this year, let me check quickly what he shot last year.
I bet he shot around that on the year, maybe 35.
Yeah, I would guess 35. Hold on, let me see.
But I bet the splits between off the bounce versus 34. Catch and shoot, which I don't have the splits on off the bounce versus catch and shoot, but like I bet they're noticeable. Like his catch and shoot is clearly better than his off the bounce, which is fine. Yeah. I mean, it's that way for most everybody, you know.
I don't know why I pinned this message. Why did I pin that message? Yeah, I would say if he gives us 36, 37 even from deep, that opens up so much for us offensively.
I just want more catch and shoots than off the bounces at the end of the day. I think that amount to me is worth tracking and will be very interesting.
Right. I'm just going to scroll through because there's a lot of troll ones here about Reeves. this looks like Proctor's team. His ball handling and passing look ridiculous tonight. Need him on the floor as much as possible. Is this Proctor's team?
I mean, like, I kind of have said this before, so maybe I need to stand by it. I do think that Proctor is the guy who needs to play the most minutes per game for this team, for sure. Like, in my mind, that's definite. His change of pace with the ball in his hands is ridiculous. Like, he sent a couple of people sailing when he just, like, hesitated and then, like, immediately blew past them. And then his vision is great. Like, his vision is just flat out great. The jumper still needs to make sure that it's fully ironed out. But, man, I kind of think if you're going to say it's somebody's team, then the person with the highest minutes per game is not a bad person, you know, to say that about, I would think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean,
or do you not want to? Do you want to sit on the fence for this?
No. I mean, I would say it's Proctor's team. It's hard to single out single. I think we go at. I'll say. I think we'll go as Proctor goes. So. Yeah. Depending on what he gives us, how he's, you know, facilitating, how he's scoring the ball, you know, how he's defending, that's going to determine how great we can be. But from, I guess, the political side of things, well, not political, but just like the, I guess the political answer, Flip is Flip's team. Just by, you know, I guess the stature of he might be ACC Player of the Year. He might be first team All-American. You know,
he'll lead stats. He'll lead the stats.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about what I just said about Proctor leading the team in minutes per game, I kind of think if anyone was to miss time like Proctor, Mitchell, or Flip, that Proctor is the one that, like, we probably have a contingency plan for the best. You know, like, Proctor is our highest ceiling guy, but, like, also if Proctor had to miss a couple of games, we've got guys who can do some things at the point of attack. And if it's Mitchell or Flip, that's a very different story, I think.
Right. This was an interesting one. I'm trying to, let me blow these up. You see
shout
that?
Shout out to James Young in the chat, really helping our, he's helping our engagement. He's helping the engagement. Reginald Burton.
What is he saying? What is he
helping
saying?
Out the engagement. He's spelling UConn one letter at a time.
I'm glad you could spell, my brother. I'm glad you could spell.
Although he only put one N, so you tell me.
You know. No, maybe not. Maybe not.
didn't take the spelling class at UConn. Didn't take you know?
This is an interesting thing because I didn't notice this. This is from Dave and Nick 33. Foster's shot is not pretty at all. It's not at all.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not conventionally pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did, like, when I was watching him in high school, I did think of that. Like, that's why it was. I don't call him a pure shooter, but I mean, he could knock it down. I think he's a gamer. But it'll be interesting to see because that it does need work. But if it goes in, can't really say anything. But that was definitely an interesting.
He strikes me as a guy that is probably more volume oriented as a freshman than efficiency oriented would be my guess. The stroke might have something to do with that. But he also had some really pretty floaters. Like some of those early things just didn't fall. And he obviously did some dribbling into traffic and had some freshman mistakes, right? He's going to make them, especially early in the season, but he also had a couple of little nifty, like get into the paint and put a little floater up. And we haven't really had guys who have like consistent floater game in the last couple of years. So that would be a really nice thing.
Well, how far do you be by a couple years?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Since the graduation of Trey Jones, is that
okay? As long as you keep Trey Jones in that discussion,
Trey had the floater for sure. Trey had the floater, it's more that like Roach has never really had that in his bag consistently, which is weird. I think he could, but he always wants to get to the rim, he wants to get to the cup generally, which is interesting. But Foster was busting it out right away multiple times. A couple of them went in. Somebody pointed out in the comments, too, that Foster had a real – I think he was the one who found shoot for the three. So, again, some nice vision from him as well. You like to see those flashes from a freshman.
You got a comment here that disagrees with Proctor leading in minutes per game. But Jerm, Foster, McCain are closer to him than anybody else on the team is to Flip. That is true.
It's true and it's not. Like, it's true and it's not because, like, Flip, at the end of the day, a big man for the majority of the games that we're going to play doesn't really need to play over 30 minutes a game sometimes. Like, what did Flip do last year? 30, 31, 32 maybe?
I'm about to, like, another check right now.
Like, he could do that again, you know? But, like, your point guard, especially in the big games, in the big games, Proctor, like, kind of has to play 40 minutes or close to it. Like,
conference play, Flip was 30 minutes per game.
Yeah. I didn't look this up before, but I'd be interested in seeing what Proctor's was like from the Jeremy Roach injury onward. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably comparable, would be my guess.
Yeah. It would require me scrolling a lot.
Yeah, no, don't do that. But yeah. Proctor's just different, man. Like, you know, like, yes, I think that if Proctor had to miss time, we've got guys who can fill that gap. But in terms of hitting our ceiling, like, Proctor's got to have the keys, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jeremy Rhodes did lead us in minutes per game last year, 33. It's always going to be the guard, especially at Duke, that stay on the floor. No matter how much depth we have, we will be staggering minutes at
times.
And
Foster will run the threesome, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, at times we'll be playing a lot of three guards anyway. So, you know, that'll probably even out to Proctor still. Proctor or maybe Rhodes still leading us in scoring. Question for the host here, I see.
I think it'll be Flip. What is the expectation for the tournament this year for Duke?
Yeah.
What is it every year, man?
Yeah. Did we say national championship last year? We didn't say that. No way we said that.
I think there's a difference between expectation and realistic expectation, but like, Duke fans expect a title every year. Like, it's not a realistic thing for people to expect, but it is kind of what fans expect. I think last year we knew that was going to be a stretch, especially once we hit those speed bumps in ACC play.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this year the expectation is title. I think bare minimum, the expectation is for Shire, and we'll talk about Shire's extension later, but for Shire to prove that when he's got the talent, that he's got the juice to take Duke on a substantial run in March. Right. Right. I do think that that's important.
We will get to the Shire talk.
But
yeah, I mean, it's national champion. I wouldn't have said national championship last year. If I did say that early in the season, that's just my Duke fumes clouding my thought space. But I do think this team has I'm going to allude to it because I did ask him, Jerem McCain. I asked him if it was a championship or bust season. He kind of shrugged it off in a way, kind of said he never has that mindset. But I do feel like Final Four at the very least, if we don't get to the Final Four, that's not a good season for this team.
Well, if your aspirations are Final Four, then I think ultimately your aspirations are title.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, once you're there, you're so close. Like, you're really close. Like, if you think you're a realistic Final Four team, you're probably also a realistic title team at the end of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Should we jump into Shire before you jump into...
I thought there were one or two other hot takes. Okay. Can we get a Jaden? I saw at least one Jaden Shute one in there. You know what I mean?
Jaden Shute. Let me find it.
After y'all pushed back at me about Shute, when he made that three, you knew I was happy.
Yeah, but TJ Power responded immediately after.
He did. Hey, you know what? If both or either make three, we need one of them.
Here's your Jaden Shute.
Best looking stroke, dude. It's a nice looking stroke, though, for real.
It is.
It's a nice looking stroke at the end of the day. I still think he'll play, man. I think he'll play.
But here's the thing.
Like Clarence Carter, you know what I mean? He's got it going on.
If you think he's gonna play, when is he coming in? In the game against Arizona or the game against Arkansas, two high stakes games, the best players will play. When is he coming in?
Especially early in the season, he may not play in those games. He may just not play in those games or play spot minutes. It's still time. No, he's not a poor man's Grayson. Because Grayson had ups, dude. Like Grayson had sick ups. Like he was a little craftier with the ball even right away from day one. Shoot is just going to take a little time. You know, it is a very weak ACC again. But like I think the weak ACC will be to the benefit of somebody like Shoot at the end of the day, because like there aren't that many dudes that are just going to crush a guy like Shoot off the bounce. Like if Shoot is still a work in progress on defense, which we think he probably will be. But if he's making his threes, I think he'll play. I think he'll play.
I know this is off the railroad here, but this random fan, pretty boy, whatever your name is, put Duke in the Big East. They're a 500 team. Let's be real, man. Let's be real. Duke is not going to any conference and failing all of a sudden. Duke is the standard. Wherever they go, they're going to win. Let's relax. I don't know what's your team. I don't know if you're a Marquette fan, UConn fan. Let's relax,
they're obviously a UConn fan if they're here. I mean, the Big East is going to be really, really good this year, but like Duke would still be at absolute worst a top 2-3 team in the Big East. In a bad scenario, Duke's a top two, three teams, Russ, just say it.
They would win the Big East.
I'm creating a range of possible outcomes.
There's no range. Duke will win the Big East. They're going to win the ACC. They'd win the Big East. They win the SEC.
Yeah, but you know, shit happens sometimes, Zion. You know what I mean? Like, we should have won the ACC last year, and then a ref yanked the Virginia game away from us, and then we didn't. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like dumb things happen sometimes. You know what I mean?
Come on, man. But yes, okay. Are we done with the reactions? Or
the freshmen don't play with Jaden will get minutes. And I do think that in December, January, when freshmen sometimes hit a wall, you might see a little more of the sophomores. That's actually probably a really good time for somebody like Reeves to maybe find some additional spin as well.
Yeah, but do you consider Jaden Shue like a real sophomore? Like when you say sophomore, I honestly think of Jalen. Was Jalen Blake's a sophomore last year or 2 years ago?
He was a sophomore last year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So he got some spin.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have time. Duke crying about refs is comedy. That's not me crying. I never cry about the refs. The ACC said the ref made the wrong call.
It was very blatant. We don't have to play the clip.
First person, ask anybody who's on my feed. I'm the first person when Duke fans are crying about refs to say we should not be crying about refs. But that wasn't a crying about a ref situation. That was they literally got it wrong and they admitted they were wrong.
Yo, these UConn fans are crazy.
Hey, keep them comments going, man. I want to see how many people are up in the live because they're helping, dude. They're helping.
This
211 viewers on YouTube. Let's go. Keep those comments coming, man. It's just
whatever.
Helping it out. Jim Spencer's good. People are tripping. Like I am like as mad at UConn as UConn is at Duke. I'm not. You're not going to get to me. Like UConn's fine. I care about one team and it's not UConn. It begins with a U and there's an N and a C in the name, but that's the only team I care about.
All right, so are we getting to the Shire talk or the Cooper talk first?
We should get to Shire talk first. We covered everybody on the scrimmage front, right?
Yeah, we talked about everybody. I mean, I guess we didn't talk about Mark Mitchell.
Mitchell didn't get to do much, but he had a couple of nifty moves in there. I mean, I think he kind of did what we expected. He was stuck on a team where he didn't get the ball as much. I guess that's maybe one thing that was a little not great is that if Proctor and Roach, if McCain and Foster are running the show, is like, I don't know that Mitchell is necessarily a just give the ball to him and like let him work
right
still. And so if Foster and McCain think they've got the advantage,
I might clap back at that because I do feel like
Mitchell, Blue Devil. Shout out to Lockdown Blue Devils in the comments, man. Hell yeah.
Shout out to Lockdown Blue Devils. Mark Mitchell, I feel like his guy, if you do put the ball in his hands, he could get to the rim at will. He just needs spacing for one, you know.
That's true.
If you give him that one-on-one, he's shown that he's gonna get physical, number one. He's gonna be able to draw fouls, and sometimes finish through contact. But I think we'll see him more with Tyrese and Roach next to him rather than, you know, the two freshmen.
And that'll help substantially. So but he had a couple of nifty moves in there, you know.
But yeah, I guess we could talk about Mr. John Shire. So Woj bomb. How often do we get Duke Woj bombs? Let's go to the tweet. There's a tweet. Has agreed to a 6-year contract extension that'll take him through 2028-29 season. Little bit of shocker for you, no?
Yeah. We talked about this some. A mutual acquaintance of ours, who I won't name because I don't know if they would like me to name them, did ask the question, who were we bidding against, right? Like, did we need to extend him at this very moment? Like, at a lot of schools, you're going to give the extension because other schools are going to come in and swoop up and take your guy, right? Like, that's not going to happen here. So then who are we bidding against? I could make the argument that maybe it provides some security for incoming recruits, you know, to know that maybe this is the guy, especially if they're multiple year guys, this is the guy, it'll stay the guy. It's a vote of confidence. I also don't think it's probably such a huge vote of confidence that if things go disastrously, that there's not ways out. I think it's a good way of showing, hey, this is our guy. We like what he did at the end of the year. Guys going forward, your flags, your boozers, the others, this is going to be your dude. So in that respect, I get it, but I also understand the point of view of like, why now too? I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah, that's where I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the move. I'm not against the move. Shire, it seemed like Shire was going to get, he was automatically going to get 5 years, to show that he could do this when he took this job. He's endorsed by Coach K, former Blue Devil, won a national title. He has too many ties to the program to not have a long leash. But it was a surprise to see the extension because, like you alluded to, who was competing with us for John Shire? You know, one, you know, two, he didn't have a season with expectations. This will be his first season with expectations. I'm just playing devil's advocate. This is his first season with expectations, and you know, he has to, I guess, prove himself in a way this year. Last year, we were a young team. Only had Jeremy Rhodes coming back, had our two top freshmen that were injured. The season didn't really have expectations. The fact we won the ACC tournament, that was a great season, you know. And that's usually not the bar for Duke. The bar is high this year. So, you know, if we jump the gun, you know, and the season doesn't go as well, is it a mistake? I don't know. But I'm just playing devil's advocate. I like Shire. I think he's great for the program. He's done a lot for us bringing these high-level recruits. The one thing that could have been included in the contract was a Cooper Fagg commitment. You know, if he got the Cooper Fagg commitment, maybe Duke was like you got the bag, brother. You got the bag. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of people are bringing up in the comments maybe like the NBA, but like that doesn't.
It's too soon. It's too soon. Way too soon.
It's way too soon, and B, we just like I feel like things about like those sorts of interests leak out over time. You know what I mean? Right. Like any of the guys who might go to the NBA. We've already heard that they might be interested in the NBA one day, right? Like I just haven't heard anything about that with Shire. So
yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and I mean, Chaney is a trolling UConn fan, but like again, after 1 year, no NBA team should be calling Shire for like a head coaching job. I mean, right. Like it's too soon. It's way too soon.
There's not another college program that can suit him better than Duke. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, maybe it's just Duke, you know, trusting their guy, knowing they got the right guy. You know, I respect that. But it does leave, you know, a little opening of was it too early? But we'll see. We'll see. Plenty of time. I personally think the contract will age pretty well. To that point of Cooper Flag, is it finally time, man?
Is it? We can talk about Cooper Flag.
All right, man. Let me roll out the clip.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, man. It's time, man. Let's address these Cooper Flag rumors.
Yeah.
Let's address these Cooper Flag rumors. Let me pull this off the screen. For anybody that was listening for audio, we just played a clip of Cooper Flag with the Cameron Crazies holding up a baby. And I don't know the percentage. I don't know the percentage of people that go to the Crazies and celebrate with the Crazies and don't go to Duke, but I'm sure it's pretty high. I don't know. Anybody in the comments has an example of one time someone who's went to the Crazies and not come, then send it. But I don't remember.
There might be like dudes who went with like a group, you know what I mean? Like if like three guys all went together, you know what I mean? Like then maybe one of them didn't go. It's a possibility. I shared on Twitter the other day that in the last, what I think it was 7 years I wrote, I forget what the number was, but there were 18 guys who went to Countdown to Craziness who've committed to schools already. Dylan Harper went last year and he's not committed to anywhere yet. So I'm not including him. And out of those 18, 12 of them did choose to go to Duke. Pretty good numbers. You know, and also like two of them were North Carolina people who went to North Carolina, you know, like I don't know. I don't feel bad. Flag was with a group. All right, then fair enough. I wasn't paying that close attention, admittedly. yeah, I mean, but he lifted up the baby and Duke fans know the baby always wins.
The baby always wins, man.
Yeah, look, it's like this, Zion. We've been talking to people today. We've been trying to figure out what we can find out, despite the fact that we are not insiders. We are fortunate enough to, you know, just know a person or two who might themselves be connected.
Man, I don't even know why you said that, because now you know what people are going to comment. But go ahead.
Well, you are an insider. no, I mean. I just haven't been given any indication that things have changed, like by people who I know are generally in the know about things. Like I know there's a lot of smoke. The smoke is alarming. You know, it's alarming in the sense that it took me from like 99% confident to like somewhere in the lower 90s. you know, like, so, I mean, it's not insubstantial, but until the smoke turns to fire, I don't like a lot of the smoke is like people being like, oh, my dentist in Maine told me that super flags.
It's a lot of people trying to just get clout right at this point. Like it's a lot of people.
Yeah, Jensen says those private forums normally aren't wrong, but like also Duke's private forums, everyone is confident he's going to Duke. Like I also know that a lot of UConn fans, and again, I appreciate the fervor that they have. A lot of them are pretty clearly just like having fun with this. Like, you
some
know,
of them, some of them are, some of them are, some of them of really them believe very, he's coming to
some UConn. Of them are very serious. Some of them are very serious. I think the majority of them are just having a good time. And, you know, there's a lot of benefit to being on their side of things, right? Because you control really aggressively. And then if you're wrong, you can go, I was just having a good time. But then if he does go to UConn, then, oh, I called it, right? Like, so there's like a lot of fun that can be had there. I don't blame any of them for doing any of that. Yeah, James is having fun. A lot of people in the comments are having a good time. I haven't heard anyone, and even the Trilly stuff from earlier, like, was in response to a tweet that said I wouldn't bet against Rachel Baker. You know what I mean? Like, that might imply that maybe there are people who think it's a little closer than others might have expected early. But, like, right. Again, nobody has changed their, like, crystal ball. Nobody has changed their opinion, generally speaking, that I've seen. Again, I don't know anything. Frank Isola, when it comes to college basketball, is a nobody, dude.
Bro, a nobody. Let me take this one because y'all think if anybody with a somewhat of blue check or works at a news company is connected in some way.
Frank Isola still thinks the Knicks are going to be good every year. You know what I mean? Like, what does he know? Sorry, Zion.
Man, I'm not a Knicks fan. I don't care.
All right, fair enough. Oh, you're with the Nets?
I'm a Nets. I'm a Nets fan. He did cover some of the Nets, too. But he has no connections whatsoever to high school basketball. High school
hoops. No, yeah.
Doesn't follow it. He doesn't even follow it.
The people who are connected to high school basketball and the people who are connected to Duke all seem to remain confident at present that Cooper Flagg is Duke-bound. That does not mean that things can't change. It'll never be a 100% certainty. Like, it just won't until the name is signed on the line, which is dotted, as they said in Glengarry Glen Ross, right? Like, you know, so there will always be people who are convinced that it's not the case. the Swain crystal ball at 9 confidence. I don't know like what exactly to say because again I'm not connected at all, but again the people that I know who are connected seem okay. Still fairly confident.
Let me he does a podcast with Brian Scalabrine. Congrats to Frank Isola, but I don't value his opinion when it comes to anything about high school recruiting, high school basketball. He doesn't naturally cover it. He's not naturally invested in it. Brian Scalabrine.
It's also the anomaly, right? Like nobody is going on record who is connected to high school basketball, grassroots basketball, Duke basketball. I mean, maybe there's a UConn insider. I don't know about the UConn insiders. Admittedly, I don't care. But like. Maybe there's a UConn insider who is very, very confident, but I haven't seen anybody on record who has said,
who is in the know.
I mean, to
mimic what you I've pulled around, I woke up, I saw that message. I was like, I know what's going to come with it. I woke up to 5-7 DMs. Yo, bro, my first tweet of the day. Yo, Cooper Flagg, you hear about Cooper Flagg? Like, I asked around. Yeah. I didn't find anything that, you know, should alarm people, but that's not to say, you know, he's ultimately a lock to Duke. Just to say, you know, if you thought that tweet was supposed to change something, it hasn't apparently. So I don't know.
And I mean, like, look, things can change. And I tweeted earlier, like, if things did change and Duke lost Flagg after Duke was very clearly the favorite for Flagg for a very long time, according to everybody, then that would merit a conversation. You know, I think that would merit a conversation. But like, unless that happens, I'm not going to be concerned. Unless the one downside of this stance, though, is like very rarely when things change, like a change against Duke, they will change at the very last second, and then everyone will change. You know what I mean?
That's like, the thing, though.
Like, nobody's changed their Duke crystal ball, so we shouldn't be that worried. And I kind of want to respond to those people, like, yeah, I mean, if you see one person change their Duke crystal ball, they will literally all change their Duke crystal ball.
It's going to be a domino effect. Shit. Yeah, it happened with Flory.
Flory. I mean, and people were quick to point out. Maybe I think it was you that was quick to point out, among other people, that Flory was a different situation. I think on Reddit people said that too. That's true. That was a different situation than this. This has been a very long term recruitment. That would be a very different turn of events. Yeah, until I see a reason for an alarm bell. And then by the time we see the reason for the alarm bell, it'll probably be too late. But like, So it'll either be we see the alarm bell and we've probably lost, or we won't and things are fine. Like, listen, I kind of think that's the way it goes.
Listen, if he ends up at UConn, I'm not going to remember all that. I mean, I'm sure we're going to do too many shows this season. UConn fans are going to pop up. But, you know, it's not that I'm not – gonna be losing sleep. I'm just gonna be focusing on the team we have at hand, because the team we have at hand is a national championship contender.
It merits shouting out VJ and Patrick, who are also there. It would be great to have at least one of them. I mean, it would obviously be great to have all three.
VJ, man. VJ.
I can't be that greedy, but VJ is great. I mean, Patrick is really great. He's another dude that's big, you know what I mean? Like, he's a big dude. Also, Jacob is wrong if he thinks Cooper Flagg is not Duke's top priority. That's absolutely completely wrong. Yeah.
Jacob, we got to bring that back, brother. Cooper Flagg is everybody's top priority. Like, Kansas, he already said no to Kansas. He's still Kansas' top priority, I bet you. But,
it's for sure.
I was just trolling.
I agree, by the way, with the person who says we're probably not going to get all three. I agree. Like, I definitely think that Duke is going to have returners from this crew, which, depending on how the season goes, might sway some opinion, right?
He said Duke has three other wings signed. Wings win, baby. Get as much wings as you can, because I mean, that's the most rushable players on your roster.
Yeah, especially if Cooper Flagg did sign – then we want versatility and spacing around Cooper Flagg in a substantial way. Cooper can space himself and do a lot of things too, but you know, the more room you can create, and when you have somebody who is as elite on the inside at shot blocking and again at taking up space, at being big as Cooper Flagg is, having wings who can apply a lot of pressure on the outside, VJ would play. Obviously, it's a silly suggestion for sure. That he would. Yeah.
We'll kind of see this year what Shire does with it, because even Coach K said he thinks this team is really deep. So you know, we'll see how much Shire can open up the rotation and see, you know, how can that trickle into the following years? Cause a lot of these guys are staying. We will have more often now freshmen staying at Duke. And we'll still be overloading and recruiting. So we'll see. We'll see for sure. I don't think Cooper Flagg, we're not ringing the siren yet. We'll let you know when we're supposed to ring the siren. Actually, I probably won't let you know. I'm not gonna let you know. I'm gonna stay quiet, but you'll start to feel it. You'll start to feel the tension when the siren is, you know, ringing.
Yeah, and I think everyone will start to see it. Like somebody will screenshot Duke insiders en masse switching their crystal balls, or Trilly Donovan will tweet, you know, something far more explicit than what he tweeted. You know, those things would be real alarm bells. I didn't think the thing today was anything more than maybe a cause for concern that it should be close, because again, in a thing like this, it probably shouldn't be.
I just need him to announce at this point. need him to announce because this is going to build up for a time. But I will say he was rocking with the crazies tonight.
He was definitely rocking with the crazies tonight. And hey, it's going to be great for our numbers, dude. It's going to be great for our numbers. If he wants to hold out until like January, then go with God. You know what I mean? Like do the thing. We'll do a Cooper Flag corner every show. We'll poll all the people we know and ask if there are any updates. And then we'll put in the title. We'll shamelessly put in the title like Cooper Flag updates. just and sometimes it'll be real and sometimes it won't. No. You won't know unless you come.
Hey, shout out to the UConn fans, man. They've been blowing. I didn't even know y'all was big like this online, man. Y'all been giving us support, man. So subscribe to the Fields of 68. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. I'm on Duke Instagram, Zion O, a Duke. Follow my guy Russ Duke Better on that's your Instagram, right?
Yeah, Duke Better is my everything, my friend.
Hey, and man, shout out to UConn fans, man.
Everybody in here, Duke fans and UConn fans, hit the thumbs up on this YouTube feed also, you know. We would love to have UConn fans back for the next video that we do. If you hit that thumbs up, then you will know when we go live next time, right? And you can come right back. You can keep telling us that we're definitely wrong. We might be. I might be wrong. I don't know. I don't know Cooper Flag. I don't know his family. Listen, I don't know his dentist. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know these people.
Respectfully, though, my Twitter is Duke MBA. That's mine. Or you want to. If you find Duke NBA, you can find my personal too. I know you guys will be watching us. I will say that. UConn fans will be watching Duke, especially the Champions Classic. Everyone going to be watching that. I can't say the same that I'll be watching y'all, but, you know, we know you'll be here in spirit with us all the time. Zion, you're worrying me. You always know, and you don't seem confident. I am not giving any. Me and Russ just told you what we thought of the situation. We feel like it's nothing to be alarmed of, but we're not going to eliminate the possibility of what the rumors are, you know, coming true. I'm not saying, yo, you should be worried.
Hey, Zion, put up on the thing. Big Slick says you will watch us beat UNC, right? That's about UConn playing UNC.
One of y'all playing UNC.
Dude, I will put on – somebody send me a UConn jersey. I'll wear a UConn jersey.
No, you don't got to go that far. We will be rooting for UConn when they play UNC.
I will be cheering for UConn so hard against UNC. UNC is the only team I care about. They've got to lose. And that means that you've got to win. So you better deliver. And you better beat UNC by like 30.
Oh, at the Garden. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm in New York.
Embarrass them, UConn. Please. I'm begging you. It's an MSG. You should go, Zion.
Yeah, yeah. If UConn fans in this chat, follow me on Twitter. If you buy me tickets to come to this game, I will absolutely join you and root for UConn. Only if you buy me tickets. I'm not paying for the MSG tickets twice. Duke plays in MSG on the 20th, and those tickets are crazy.
those tickets are going to be crazy. Yes.
Yeah. But we appreciate y'all for sure. I think that's right. We were supposed to go 30. We went an hour.
There's never a shortage of things to talk about when it comes to the majesty and the wonder of Duke basketball, Zion.
Man, it's crazy. But yeah, man, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Appreciate the Twitter world. I'm sorry, Twitter, that you cannot comment without subscribing to Twitter Blue. I don't know why Elon did that, but you know, he ruined that app, but it's okay. You know,
come to the YouTube.
Come to the YouTube if you want to comment, but still watch us on Twitter because, you know, that's where our family is. We appreciate y'all. Subscribe to the Crazy Cast podcast on Apple, Spotify. Rate us, review us, please. I saw we were number 19 today. Number 19 top basketball podcast. So please keep on supporting us. What else? Shout out to the Field of 68. I'm trying to get all the plugs in. What's I'm missing a plug. What's the plug? What's another plug, Russ?
Yeah, if our show keeps doing great numbers, Jeff said that we're going to replace Rob Doster on the permanent.
Hey, listen, if you want us to replace Rob, man, if you want us to replace Rob, spam that chat, man, spam that chat.
maybe if enough UConn fans show up, then Rob will say that we'll replace Jeff. So either way,
Oh man. I appreciate your opportunity, and we don't know when we'll be back. Maybe next week after the secret scrimmage, supposed to be playing Villanova. And then, you know, after that, I think a week later might be our first game or exhibition. So we'll try to come back next week. But we appreciate y'all for tuning in for both episodes this week.
Zion, you know when we might do a surprise show? Is if Cooper Flagg announces.
Cooper Flagg announces, yes, yeah, for sure.
Then we'll probably do one in short order, especially if/when he decides to go to Duke. Then we expect all the UConn fans, hey, fair is fair. I expect all the UConn fans to be back in the comments if we go live and Cooper Flagg has committed to Duke. Tell us we're wrong. Tell us he was wrong. Be mean, be jerks about it, but be back, you know. Show your faces. Oh, you know what I mean?
Oh man. Please. We'll make a solid pack.
King
with UConn
says hell no.
Hey man. It's okay, respect, man. You'll respect. Come around. Oh no. This is when I know we have to end this stream. A UNC fan joined.
Oh God. Please. Who invited you?
Y'all have your own pod. Please go subscribe to their pod over there. We're good over here. Appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week. Crazy Cast, happy birthday to my guy Ryan, man.
Happy birthday, Ryan.